which is assigned to be celebrated tomorrow. The order of our service then is listed there. It's pretty straightforward. Otherwise, before we begin our service, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, gracious Heavenly Father, you are the giver of all good gifts, and you bring them about in their due season. The best gift that you have given to us, Lord, is your Son, Jesus Christ, who you brought to us in the fullness of time to win for us forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation by his life, death, resurrection, ascension, and perfectness on our behalf. Grant us eyes of faith to look to Christ, ears to hear his word, and mouths to sing his praises. In your holy, precious name we pray. Amen. We'll follow Divine Service Setting 1 on page 151 in your hymnal, page 151. We'll start with singing hymn 356, The Angel Gabriel from Heaven Came. 356, we sing. Divine Service Setting 1, page 151, please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This time we sing together the introit as it's found in your bulletin insert.
I will bless the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you chose the Virgin Mary to be the mother of your only Son. Grant that we, who are redeemed by his blood, may share with her in the glory of your eternal kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The reading for the festival of Saint Mary, Mother of our Lord, is from Isaiah chapter 61. Instead of your shame, there shall be a double portion. Instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their lot. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess a double portion. They shall have everlasting joy. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their offspring shall be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are an offspring the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. This is the word of the Lord. We speak together the gradual as it's printed on your insert. All glorious is the princess in her chamber, with robes interwoven with gold. In many colored robes she is led to the king, with her virgin companions following behind her. The epistle is from Galatians chapter 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoptions as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel and the Alleluias. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. As we continue with the hymn of the day, number 518, "By All Your Saints in Warfare," number 518, stanzas 1, 22, and 3.
In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Dear Christians, this evening the church celebrates the feast of Saint Mary, the mother of our Lord. There's a lot that we could say about Mary. And yet then our focus would not be upon why it was that she was so blessed. The fact that she gave birth to a son, the Savior of the entire world. That's why Mary is blessed. That's why we celebrate tonight. She is the Mother of God, and in her, the fullness of time finds its completion. You see, time keeps on marching on, and it has ever since the very beginning. You know, when Adam and Eve were in the garden and brought sin into the world by closing their ears to the word of God. God had said, "You may not eat from this tree." And so right away, they did. They came up with a better word. They listened to another voice. Sin entered the world, came to all people. You've inherited it. I've inherited it. All people sin. And the result of sin is that all people die. And no one is exempt from this punishment. It is the curse that God gave to man as a result of disobedience. That's how time began. Or at least what happened in its very first days. Sin and death. But right away, when sin entered the world, God also made a promise. A promise of rescue, a promise of peace, a promise of life. A promise that would overcome death. God said, "The seed of the woman, the offspring of the woman, Eve, would crush the serpent's head even as his heel was pierced." As soon as sin entered the world, God started pointing people to Jesus. As soon as death was conferred upon Adam and Eve, God started pointing to the life of the world. God gives the promise of Jesus, who by the cross would destroy sin, death, and the power of the devil, would open all graves and raise all people out of them, even as nails pierced his hands and feet. God promises Jesus right away when sin comes about. God promises Jesus, and as a sign of that promise, God increased the pain of childbirth, for it is the offspring of the woman that the Savior would be born. And so it is that suffering would preclude the birth of the Savior. Childbirth would be difficult as we looked ahead to our Savior. The promise of God, the promise of Jesus, was passed on from generation to generation. When the family of Adam and Eve had their children, the promise passed on to them. Adam, Seth, Enosh, the list goes on and on, marching through the Old Testament. Each generation passing the promise of a Savior on to the next. Those born of childbirth, hearing the word, "The seed of the woman will crush the serpent." The promise goes on to Noah, who is kept alive in the ark, even though there's a worldwide flood that destroys everyone else, he's kept alive to keep the promise of Jesus alive. Time marches on. Generations pass on. Shem inherits the promise and passed it on through his descendants till it comes to Abraham. Abraham receives the sign of circumcision, another painful suffering that points us to the birth of a Savior. Jesus will be born of these people who are circumcised the way that Abraham was. Isaac, Jacob, Judah. Time marches on. The generations pass. They enter into Egypt. Moses leads them out, and still the promise is passed on. Then to David and his children. Generation after generation, dying because of sin, and yet hoping in God's word. Hoping that God will do what he has promised. Generation after generation of patriarchs who were not holy in themselves or because of the things that they did, but instead because they believed God's promise and it was counted to them as righteousness. The promise is passed on, never forgotten, even in the time of Elijah when it seems like all had fallen away. But God destroys the false prophets of Baal, and the promise is renewed. Even as they are led off into exile in Babylon, God's promise carries on throughout all the ages of time. It goes to Babylon and then back to Israel in the time of Nehemiah. The promise is kept alive as Israel is conquered by Greeks, and then set free, and then conquered by Romans. And the people are kept in submission. The promise passed on. Thousands of years. People believing God's word. Thousands of people, hundreds of generations. The promise is the same throughout it all. But all promises need fulfilling. At least that's how Paul sees it in the book of Galatians that we heard earlier. And when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, the Virgin Mary, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons, so that we might be saved. And so the blessed Virgin Mary gives birth to her firstborn, a son. She wraps him in swaddling clothes and lays him in a manger. The angels sing, the shepherds come, the wise men worship. God and man together in one person, Jesus the Christ, the fulfillment of what was promised to Adam and Eve, the fulfillment of the promise passed down from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Nehemiah, and all the rest. God and man in Jesus. The faith now fulfilled because of what God has come to do. And Jesus does crush Satan's weary head. He does so on the cross. All the sin that had separated us from God, Jesus places on his shoulders. A burden was more heavy than that wooden cross. Step by step, he carried it to Golgotha. And he held it as his hands and feet were nailed into rough wood. As he hung naked and alone, bleeding and dying. In the fullness of time, in the person of Jesus, your sin was killed. It is finished, Jesus says. Death no longer is the end. The grave is not your final resting place, just like it was not Jesus' final resting place. He is risen, and you will rise also. In the fullness of time, all sin is erased, and you are forgiven. And all of those Old Testament saints who looked forward to the fulfillment of time in Jesus receive their great reward. All those who trusted in struggle, in hunger, in toil, in exile, receive their promise of peace and comfort and joy forever and ever without end. Those who suffered in childbirth looking forward to the Lord now see it fulfilled. Those who bore the mark of circumcision now have peace. And now, the same is true for you, dear Christians. After the fullness of time, on that Friday we call good, the same promise is now passed on to you, the members of the church. Countless generations before you have looked backward to Jesus crucified and risen. Countless generations have looked backwards to Jesus and received the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation in the Word and in the sacrament, and been sustained in the faith by the same promise of those who came before. In Jesus, born of the Blessed Virgin Mary, who suffered, bled, and died under Pontius Pilate, who rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, in that name, countless people have received forgiveness of sins and the promise of resurrection on the last day. And God promises the same thing to all of you here gathered, to all listening on the radio, and to all through the work of the Holy Spirit, believe our Lord's word. Will you believe that promise? Will you listen to God's continuous call? Will you look back to the fullness of time when Mary, meek and mild, became blessed. Blessed to be the mother of God. Blessed to witness the crucifixion. Blessed to witness the resurrection. Blessed, just like you are blessed. Will you believe the word of God? For that promise is there for you as well. Will your baptism bear fruit? Will you eat the body and blood and receive forgiveness of sins? Or will you, like Adam and Eve in the very beginning, forsake the word of the Lord for joy of popularity, money, power? Will you ignore the word because it's illogical? Will the world claim you? Or will you stand on the shoulders of all those faithful who come before you? You do not belong to this world. You belong to God. You are a part of the history of the Scripture because you have the same faith of all those famous saints and patriarchs of old. Faith whose content is Christ. His work has been done for you, just as much as it was done for Abraham or David or Noah or even for Adam. His work was done for you. And so his forgiveness covers you in the same way that it covers Jeremiah or Isaac or Josiah or Samuel. His work has been done for you. And so when he baptizes you, it really, truly adopts you into God's family and keeps you safe the way that Noah was kept safe on the ark. You are fed with the food of heaven and eat and believe. Jesus' work has been done for you. You belong to him. And now we await not the fullness of time, but the completion of time. When God's promise will no longer be yes, but not yet, but instead will be completely revealed. When Christ will take us to live with him in his kingdom forever. Even if we lay under the ground, he will call us forth. Arise, awake, come inherit the promised land prepared for you from the foundation of the world. God will take you out of this veil of tears to an eternal rest. That's what will happen in the completion of time. Because at the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of Mary. Because of that child, you have been adopted. You're no longer a slave to sin and death, but instead an heir of God, ready to receive all that he gives to you through his great love and tender mercy. You belong to God. You've been clothed in his righteousness. And you will inherit eternity in his name. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. This time we continue our service by confessing our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed on page 158. Page 158, please stand.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance to the Father,
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For the faithful proclamation of Christ's saving name, that God's people may be strengthened in the true faith and extended, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the holy Christian church throughout the world, and for all who confess the name of Christ, that God would guard and defend us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this congregation, its mission, and its people, for the ability to meet the needs that arise as we do the work God has given us to do, and for the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the educational institutions of our synod, for our preschools, our day schools and high schools, our colleges and universities, and for our seminaries, that those who teach and those who learn in them would be transformed by the wisdom of Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who serve in worthy occupations, professions, arts, and sciences, that God would grant them skill and integrity in the performance of their responsibilities and valued service through their vocations, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who suffer from hunger, homelessness, poverty, or unemployment, that God's great mercy and love would preserve and relieve them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the faithful, that the Spirit would lead them to cheerful, generous giving from the bounty the Lord provides, to support the church and to help those in need, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are sick, especially Mark, Barb, Victor, Marge, Daryl, James, Linda, Harlan, Katie, Susan, Tish, Ralph, Reverend Brisboy, and Ruth, that God would grant healing to their bodies and strength to bear their infirmities with patience and grace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who mourn, especially the family of Bill Lee, the family of Janine Melton, and the family of Susie Zamanicek, that in their time of sorrow, they would not lose hope, but rely on God's promise that he will never leave them or forsake them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who rejoice in the rich blessings of God, that they may always remember the giver of every gift and give him heartfelt thanks, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Bread service has been a blessing for you. This time, there's a pad at the end of each row. In the pews, if you'll put down your contact information there, we'll acknowledge your presence with us. We want to especially welcome those listening to us on the radio. We're glad to have you here with us. And bread service might be a blessing to you there as well.
This time, we'll also collect our gifts and offerings. Thank you. We continue with the offertory on page 159. Please stand. Give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy God.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Please stand as we sing our post-communion canticle. It can be found on page 165 in your hymnal, page 165, the Nunc Dimittis.
Lord, now you let your servant go in peace, your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people.
Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament, and we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. You may be seated as we sing our closing hymn. We'll sing the words of the Blessed Virgin Mary as we sing the Magnificat in hymn 933, My Soul Rejoices.
Thank you.
Glad to have you here with us this evening. We pray the service has been a blessing for us. Just a few announcements to bring to your attention. There is Jonah Bible study in the fellowship hall, so you're invited to come and attend that and hear a little bit about that prophet from the Old Testament and to study there with Vicar Golden. Tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Tomorrow at 1 o'clock is the Lifelight Bible study. We'll be continuing our look at the book of Judges, and so we invite you for that as well. Otherwise, there's the news and notes back there. I think a few copies, if you'd like a copy of that. There's a few additional announcements that are in there. You'll notice someone's missing this evening. He's on a vacation with family, enjoying just a little bit of time and relaxation. And from the pictures, looks like he had a fun time. So keep him in your prayers, Pastor Poppy, as he returns again for Sunday also. Any other announcements that I've forgotten? If not, God's blessings on your evening.